Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Yeah, sat with Emily. Got a new podcast coming out, Togetherness, next year, but we thought it'd be a good idea to do a 2020 life lessons podcast. I mean, this year's been a little bit rubbish, to say the least. We thought we'd discuss it, but actually focus on the positives. How are you feeling, Emily?
Glad that 2020 is going to be over, to be honest. I'm not too optimistic of the next year, but it's just nice to be closing a chapter, I think.
Most definitely. I think we can all, give a clap to 2020 ending. Right, yeah, that's enough with the sound effects. Anyway, we're talking to James, who's a peer mentor and wellbeing coach for the NHS, and to Luke, who's owner and founder of the Stress Sessions podcast, which I will also be featuring on in the new year when it comes out. So, yeah, some really interesting topics to talk about. And we've got a few hours until the new year is finally here and we can wave goodbye to 2020. So without further ado, let's go. So thank you so much for joining, Luke and James. Luke, you're from the Stress Sessions podcast, and James, you're a peer mentor as well, who you do a lot of mindfulness training, well-being, coaching. Tell us a bit about yourselves, introduce yourselves.
I'll let you go first, James.
There we go, yeah. I'm still getting used to these.
No worries. My name's James Keenan. I am a peer support worker and peer trainer for the South Eastern Trust, which is part of the NHS. And through that, I am assisting those persons in mental health recovery. basically to self-manage their own mental health and well-being, and to be able to give them the opportunity to be able to enhance their lives by having hope, taking control, and finding those opportunities out there for anybody who wants to get on into a stable position. And it's basically it's very difficult to explain in very little words, because usually I have a huge speech in my head when someone says to me, what exactly do you do? But it's basically I'm there to provide that training and support anyway to individuals to self-manage mental health. But then on the other side of that, I am a mindfulness teacher, a mental health and well-being coach. So basically guiding people through their mental health journey. And also in that coaching category, it's not just about the mental health, but it is, of course, about the actual overall well-being. So that's everything from your physical health to your mental health.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And Luke, the stress sessions, I was lucky enough to join you, was it a couple of months ago now, wasn't it? It was, what?
I think it's about a month ago or so now, I think it was. Yeah, it seems ages ago. To be fair, though, I think this whole year is just merged into one. It's 1 year, obviously, but it just feels like it's been the same month repeated over and over again. So it's just a bit weird. But yeah, I'm Luke Clark. I'm from the Stress Sessions podcast, and the Stress Sessions is basically, well, it was originally me just telling my mental health story of having anxiety and depression, and it's kind of developed further into talking to people like yourselves about their mental health stories and how we can collaborate and help one another and other people with mental health issues to kind of get the help they need and just have other people to speak to, because I think the key thing with mental ill health is just talking and getting the word out there and just having the freedom to speak about it without kind of any embarrassment or stigmas going on. And I've, throughout this whole process, I've been doing this for about, it's 6 months today, actually. So I've just learned that talking is the key thing, and the more people that we can get to speak about their mental health, the kind of better it's going to become, the stigmas are going to be defeated, and the world will be a happier place, I think, at the end of the day. So, yeah.
No, definitely. And you both do such amazing work. James, we connected on Twitter, and your positive messages that you'd put out. You do a lot of work really helping, inspiring others. And Luke, the same. I mean, James, you've probably been massively busy this year due to the pandemic and how much change and uncertainty, and just it's just been mentally exhausting. I bet that's had such a profound impact on you and the work you do as well.
Absolutely, Joe. The thing is, it's, you're trying to meet the expectations of your work before the actual pandemic. So you work to a very high standard before all the pandemic, but when this all came about and the country went into lockdown, and it seemed very unreal, and straight away the intensity of mental health, and for me trying to deliver training on mental health, it became so challenging, so much so. For instance, the trying to connect with people on Zoom. I never worked on Zoom before until this pandemic, and the very few months, first few months of delivering training, it actually caused me more anxiety than it would do on a face-to-face basis if I was delivering training. So yeah, I mean, the numbers have been absolutely huge. The rise in mental health is on the up, and it's quite sad. But it's just one of those things now that we have to grow to accept that that we all do have mental health, and it's something that has to be recognised, and everybody needs to take it serious, not just on the aspect of having. For instance, I hate that stigma that people say mental health problems, you have mental health problems, and I hate that word problems, because problems is associated with a stigma, and at the end of the day, it's an illness, it's a condition, and so I think just trying to get people to recognize the rights and the positives rather than the wrongs and the negatives. So with having the mental health illness, then yes, fair enough. It's a process, and it can be managed all in all with the right tools and techniques, and of course the patience and being resilient and that. But with the stigma that's going about, and it's quite sad, because even today, and I mean the state the society's in at the minute, with the pandemic and that, it's, you'd think people would be more open and try and be more open and try to accept that mental health is a reality for us all. It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating when you have people who are generally suffering, and there's people out there who are saying, oh, mental health this and mental health that, and it's very tough, and it's not being looked at properly, and it's hard to manage. But people don't understand what it's like to have mental health unless you've experienced it themselves. So being able to hold that mental health experience and being able to relate to other people, it does somehow it's a strength in a way, because it makes you part of someone else, and being part of someone else's journey. And that's so in turn, so when you're in that mind frame, it's very easy to let it run away with yourself, and because you have if you having a lived experience and someone who doesn't, and with the whole stigma process, it's very hard to relate to people like that, and especially in this time that we're finding ourselves in, it's extremely challenging. It is, and people, I think just people really need to understand more, and definitely understand more about mental health, and not even about going into conditions and illnesses, but they actually talk about, like wee small things like being kind and self-care, and all those wee things all add up, you know, and it makes a huge impact. And that's something I've learned.
And I think this year, that's like you said, the awareness. Emily also talked. You can come into this and add your thoughts as well. I'm conscious I'm doing all the talking. But Luke, awareness is a lot about what you do. You talk to so many people and the understanding. And I think, despite what a tough year it's been, one of the great things that has really come out from this year is the awareness of, we all have mental health, but how mental illness is such a big thing, and mental health is something that is a priority. We need to look after it, and self-care is such a necessity. I mean, Luke, from you've spoken to a lot of people throughout this as well, like what sort of things have cropped up for other people? What have they struggled with, and what's been your outlook from all of this?
I think leading on from what James has just said, I think it is a massive awareness piece that what we're all trying to do, I think, but from what James just said, it's a massive educational piece for people as well. So I've recently just had mental health first aider training, and that was a real eye opener for me, because I'm just coming at it from a kind of anxiety and depression perspective. I don't know about other mental illnesses. And I said at the start of this podcast that it was mental health problems. And I think, again, it's an educational piece of learning stuff personally, but then also educating other people with the right terminology and letting them know what mental illnesses are out there, because until you know what ones there are, you wouldn't understand them. And through doing my podcast, it's kind of been a real eye-opener of kind of speaking to people with eating disorders, people that have suffered with bipolar, people that have self-harmed. And I've never spoken to anybody that's had an illness like that, and it's just, I personally feel honoured that I've now got that kind of knowledge, that I can go and speak to people about those sort of topics. But I think they're topics that everybody should kind of learn about.
I was just saying, okay. You know, following on from the point of mental health first aid training, I think personally that's something that should be mandatory through workplace, because, you know, some people, they do only have their work life and their home life, and sometimes they're quite isolated at home, and so they don't have the contact with other people in those scenarios. And for me personally, I've struggled with my mental health in the workplace, and I've tried my best to sort of disguise that and work with my co-workers, but a lot of them don't have any knowledge of those kind of things because they are sheltered in certain aspects. And I think, you know, when people do only have that commute to and from work, especially now being isolated working at home, you do need to check up on people and touch base and things like that. We have a co-worker who lives alone, and, you know, we all like to just check up on her because she doesn't have any pets, or you know, she's been taken away from having her time at the gym, which was her coping mechanism. And, you know, it's just about sending that message, or, you know, making sure that they're okay, because some people don't have people to check up on them, and some people might be struggling with things that other people don't understand because they're not educated in mental health.
Yeah, and I think I kind of think that. So I, again, in one of the podcasts, I spoke to a good friend who's a assistant head teacher in a school in Kent, where I used to live, and mental health is being introduced more and more into schools' education. But I think myself and Joe spoke about it on my podcast, but it needs to become more prevalent in both primary and secondary schools, just so that children are aware of mental illness, full stop. Mm-hmm. Because I think we've spoken about it before, but I didn't know what mental health was until probably I was late teens. And because you don't know what you don't know, do you? And it's one of those subjects that just needs to be taught properly, I think.
I think that education needs to start from a young age, and we touched upon it as well, you know, from the aspect of when we went through my experience at school and being bullied. You know, there's so many young people that are kind of singled out, victimized, and who are bullied because there's such a broad spectrum of mental illness. There's so many different conditions, and it affects so many people in different ways as well. And that education starting from a very young age, it makes it, just putting the education in there, there's less stigma attached to it. It's not that person's a bit weird. It's the understanding the reasons for it. And the pandemic for me has been a bit of a blessing, because there's people, even without an underlying diagnosis of any sort of mental illness, have been struggling. And it's really put that focus back on actually we need to look after each other and think twice before we start judging other people.
But I think also a lot of kindness has come out of the pandemic. You know, people have reached out, they've helped one another, you know, even down to doing groceries for elderly neighbours, they're clapping for the NHS, a bit controversial in certain aspects. But, you know, it's that sense of community, you know, the food banks where people have been really struggling. So many people are so much more willing to chip in and help their neighbours and their communities. Whereas before, I think as a nation generally, we can be very insular with our own thoughts and feelings and worries. And because the world, yes, it is still busy, but not to the same aspect where you've got so many excuses or so many things going on in the background that you forget, you know, the people around you. And now, you know, that's all been drawn back in, and in our times of isolation, we have really understood and appreciated the people around us and helped them in ways that we wouldn't have done before. And I think that is something for us to be proud of.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think we've all seen that the world's a bit of a kinder place, even with social media. Without the pandemic, I probably wouldn't have met James and yourself, Luke. Social media is used in not very nice ways, and I think that's been focused on so much without the pandemic happening. But actually, the networking, the kindness that's spread throughout the social hemisphere, I think that's the word. It's been quite amazing. There was one issue that obviously needed addressing, and I think I know we're a bit short for time with both of you, but I think it's important that is discussed as well. You know, domestic violence is a massive issue, something that affects a lot of women and a lot of men. But before the pandemic, we all knew it happened. But when the pandemic hit, like that social isolation, and unfortunately there were people obviously at home with their victims and weren't allowed to go out. What really came apparent is actually how massive domestic violence is. And I wanted to touch upon the issue here. You know, anyone that might listen back to this podcast, there was a 75% increase in the first 2 months of domestic violence incidents. And you think of that, like the impact on someone's mental health, the PTSD as well. And I mean, what both of you guys do, you know, Luke, the awareness that you spread and the not feeling alone, and how the country pulled together as well. Like James, the work you do, I'm sure you've spoken to people who might have been victims of domestic violence as well. But the world came together to really reach out, to offer an olive branch. We saw Victoria Derbyshire on the BBC with a simple trick, writing a helpline on her arm just in case a victim saw it.
There was a group of men who had a removal company that went round, and I think it was something like 180 different victims they helped move out of the place of danger into a safe environment for no cost. It was all just amazing. Purely because so many people were trapped with no place to go, you know, they didn't have the resources to leave, and yet these amazing people just said, look, where do you need to go? We'll get you there, all for free, don't worry about it. And they got these women and these men and these families into safe environments, and just doing something like that is absolutely amazing. Like, think about how much time that would have taken out of one person's day to help one person, you know, just move a few bits of furniture, get them settled in, you know, and that's changed someone's life completely. And it is just amazing to think that there are so many people that are struggling, that are stuck in these kinds of environments, and yet there are these people out there that are helping them, and we just need more of them.
Absolutely. And just like I mean, 75% of an increase is absolutely huge.
Definitely.
And it's so sad that it's taken a pandemic to we actually see that. But yeah. Like you guys said, with the kindness of other people and people just recognising, like so Victoria Derbyshire, who had the helpline on her arm, the removal man that you guys were saying, I think it's incredible. It's like, because I come from a background of working in an emergency department within the hospital, so we had training and on domestic abuse and trying to spot victims and stuff like that. And we have they look like lipsticks and sometimes pens, but and sometimes even just like we help line cards, but not necessarily on domestic violence. It could be just an information card on children's parties as an example, but on it there's a secret barcode, and in that barcode there's a number to call.
That's amazing.
And just wee things like that, I think, is absolutely powerful. But in my line of work, I don't specialise in this subject whatsoever, but through my work there has been people who have been victims in the past, and just being able to talk about their lived experiences and in domestic violence and whatever associated with mental health also, that alone, being that peer and being able to speak out and advocate that it's okay to speak out, it's okay to reach out, is absolutely huge. It's probably one of the biggest tools, I say, that we could use.
I think it is one of the hardest things, you know, being through situations like that, having to admit to yourself that those things have happened and that you have these problems and that you need help is so huge, because people in that situation do tend to hide it. You know, like you said, you have to try spot it. Nobody goes around advertising that's the kind of situation they're in. So being wary and being aware just of certain signs and things like that, and just offering something slightly hidden as well, because that gives you more confidence to accept it. You don't want to be taking leaflets on domestic violence with all these big, you know, pictures and signs, because that puts you in more danger. So yeah, definitely having those sort of subtle hints being recognised, and the sort of unfortunately underhand ways of helping people is really important, because sometimes you're not really willing to understand or accept that kind of situation.
Absolutely. And like my parents were in a domesticated relationship, and my mum carried on for 17 years in that sort of a relationship. And she didn't recognise it, she didn't accept it until just one time. It was just enough is enough. She did see that it was wrong, and it wasn't just affecting wasn't affecting her, but it was affecting us all. And she was able to make that change. And so now growing up, my mum's out of that relationship for a long time now, thank goodness. But she had the strength to be able to speak up. It might have taken her 17 years to do it, but she did it. And
exactly.
As I said to my mum, my mum would still feel really guilty that it took her that long. But I'd say to my mum, celebrate that you did.
It shows a real strength, doesn't it? And I think something which a lot of us take for granted. So, obviously, I know time is of the essence. Luke, I think you've got something happening, haven't you, in about 15 minutes?
Yeah. My wife's doing New Year's Eve dinner.
Lovely. So as well as it being a bit of a negative year for a lot of people. We've touched upon a lot of awareness that's happened throughout the year. And actually the things that this year has taught a lot of us. One of the things I will say as well is like the materialistic things that I think a lot of us focused on, like having the best phone or best clothes, but actually things so close to home, like just the sound of nature, having complete freedom in how we move around, live our lives, was something we took for granted before. But I think now I hope it will carry on, that appreciation for what we really do have in life, not for those materialistic things that, oh yeah, we'll go to the shop, get the most updated phone or whatever. And hopefully, when this is over, it's something that we will all focus on. But if you could say 2020 has taught you any life lessons, what would you both say it has taught you? I touched upon some in an article I wrote, like self-care is a priority, not a privilege, as one example of what I think this year has really taught a lot of people. But Luke and James, what things would you say are the key things to take from this year, which are life lessons, which hopefully a bit of a negative year has taught us all?
I think one of mine is that, like you just said, you don't actually need a lot of the stuff that you have. And 2020 has been the year of stripping everything back, stripping like everything back that you could possibly have, and leaving you with the bare basics. So stuff like, I've gone out for walks. I've walked so much this year, and usually I just jump in the car and go somewhere and get there quicker. Whereas this year I've taken in my surroundings. I live in Milton Keynes. I've seen so much of Milton Keynes that I didn't know was there. And it's been lovely. It's been really, really lovely just to kind of bring it back down to that sort of simple thing. But in turn, it's actually enabled me to meet more people like yourself. I've launched a new running club with people that I wouldn't have met had that not been launched. And I think the simplicity of everything has been an absolute blessing for probably quite a few people, because they've kind of seen that, like you said, they don't need the latest technology. They don't need to have like ridiculously expensive clothes and stuff like that. And the power of conversation like this is huge. And linking it back into the mental health aspect is that the more conversations that happen like this, and the more people that are integrated into that, the more kind of limelight that is shed onto mental health, and more people learn about it. So I think that kind of going full circle, I think that that's been kind of one of the key learnings for me, is that you don't actually need a lot of the stuff that you have.
Definitely. A massive, massive lesson. And I think, like we've touched upon quite a bit, the how adaptable we are as humans, and change is something we all fear. Myself being, and Emily, we're both on the autistic spectrum, what very wide spectrum, and we're very mild, but change and uncertainty is something that really panics anyone with autism and anyone without, like no one likes it. But how everyone has had to adapt. We've not been given that choice. We've just had to get on with it, adapt to the new rules, but we've done it so fast in the way we work, in the way we live our lives. And I think a really big lesson that we can all take from this is actually, no matter how much you may fear it, one, it's a positive thing. Two, it's inevitable. Things are going to change. Uncertainty is something we live with on a daily basis, but we can do it as well. James, what are your thoughts? What's an important life lesson from 2020?
Yeah, I have to agree what you guys have all said. And also, look, I think we do take so much for granted on a day-to-day basis. And I think it's taken this pandemic to be able to recognise the things that shouldn't be important, that are important, and things that are important shouldn't be important. The likes of I remember the times I would have seen my phone sitting at 5% battery and I would freak out and I need to get a charger quick, I need to get home. You know, I would cut my meals short just to get home to find a charger for my phone. And things like that don't matter. You know, and one thing I've learned is, and one of the biggest things that I have to take away from the year 2020 is the fact that the connections that the world has adopted to be able to use. So the likes of, within the pandemic, it has been challenging, but people have still come together. Yes, we can't meet face to face, or in big groups, but we have those choices to write a letter, send a text message, send an email, you know, go on Zoom and FaceTime. And I think for me personally, the power of connecting with people has been absolutely huge. It's been so powerful. And I hope that continues on in the year 2021, and hope that people will be able to not just think, oh, remember that time when we used to have to use Zoom and send letters because of the pandemic. I just hope it just continues on, most definitely. And there is a lot of lonely out there too, and just not during these challenging times. But there always has been those who are lonely, and I just hope that people checking in and those who are lonely and feeling isolated, that still continues to. I think just the power of connection and reconnection is hugely important, and I just hope it continues.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for that. And Emily, what's 2020 taught you, apart from don't move in with your boyfriend?
You know, I think me personally and everyone, you can handle far more than you think you're capable of. And particularly, you know, with having my little one, their children are very humbling. You know, he has no concept of what a pandemic is or what tier we're in or, you know, what's shut and what's open and where we can and can't go. You know, they have needs and they have wants and they have their own emotions and frustrations and anxieties about things. And obviously, having a little one, I've been a working mum, and I always thought, no, I could never be a stay-at-home mum. But that choice was taken away from me when the nurseries were shut. And I thought, how on earth am I going to cope? You know, because he's a very busy, lively little two-year-old, as they all are. And you know, it was very hard, but we got through it because we had to get through it. And we've got such a better bond from it. And he's developed and he's had that one-to-one connection that, you know, I'm blessed to have been able to give him and still be able to work and do all of those things. So, you know, that's one thing that I'm very grateful for, apart from Joe, obviously.
Oh, thank you.
But, you know, that we've been able to have that time that otherwise we wouldn't have had. And it's been really great for him. And it's also been very great for me. It's been a real eye-opener to what some single mums, you know, have to deal with on a daily basis. And, yeah, he's just sort of made me get through this year, really, you know, as children do. But, yeah, no, it's been a good year, really. It's been challenging, but it's put a lot of things into perspective, I think, which is the main thing.
I think as well that it's made people make big decisions that they wouldn't have necessarily made had this not happened.
Yeah.
And not, I don't know when you guys moved in, but that's one
of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is it. We've moved house. We wouldn't have done that had this not have happened. I wouldn't have changed jobs. I wouldn't have started a new job. And
you just realise life's too short and too changeable.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's it's good to have that, not general nudge, it's been a massive, massive push. But I think it's a really positive thing because it's the decisions that wouldn't have been made had this not have happened. And I'm happy that they have sort of been made for me in a way. Yeah. But,
likewise. But it's been nice to slow down a little bit as well from living a very fast-paced life full of just working non-stop. I mean, I was doing days and night shifts, working four jobs back to back, finishing one, literally getting like, what, half a Sunday off every week. And I don't think I would have ever given that up. I'd like to say I would have, but too much of a routine. But it's been nice. I've been able to slow down a bit now. And without the pandemic, we've had to adapt. We haven't had that option. But like you said,
good job those decisions were made for us sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Make you think about things in a very different light. But have you, I mean, I don't normally do any New Year's resolutions. I just try and aim to be a better person every year. That might be a bit of a cop-out, but have you guys got any New Year's resolutions that you want to achieve next year?
Well, I'm not a big lover of resolutions because I think you're setting yourself for expectations, and if you don't meet them, you sort of crumble afterwards with regret. So I like taking each day as it comes. But a bit like yourself, I just aim to be a better person. So for this year, I want to be more kinder to myself, and start to take pride in myself, take pride in my work and everything that I do, because I can be my own worst enemy sometimes. And I'm very much a people pleaser, so I'm always trying to help others and sort of neglect myself. So this year I really do want to try and be kinder to myself, try and be a better person, and just enjoy life. I mean, I have a partner and a dog and a great home, and I just really want to embrace all that and see what the next year brings me.
Definitely. Luke, what about yourself?
I think mine's to be a bit healthier. So it's not a resolution, but it's just I need to change my lifestyle slightly, because I think because there's been so many, it's just a personal thing, but we've got a lot of takeaways over the past couple of months that I need to stop getting. And I've put weight on. I don't weigh myself, but I've probably put on about, I'd say, 2 stone. Since the beginning of March, probably.
Was there even a pandemic if you didn't put a couple of stone on?
Exactly. Yeah. But I've committed to 2 marathons next year, so I need to lose the weight and get fit. So that's my kind of big push into doing that. So
you're doing a lot around Milton Keynes as well. You're quite close to home for us. I work in Milton Keynes, but I see your lovely Instagram updates. And I feel very bad, very envious that you're out able to do it. And there's I need to push myself a bit more. But no, thank you guys for joining. Luke, when's the Stress Sessions podcast coming out?
The first one is out on the 4th of January. And I'm speaking to a footballer called Matt Smith. And I think he's 21. I didn't actually realise he had mental health illness until I started speaking to him. So it was just going to be a general chat, and it kind of got a lot deeper. But there's series 2 is coming out. You're on it, which is amazing. I'm really, really looking forward to that one coming out. And yeah, they're out for the next couple of months. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
Fantastic. And James, have you got anything coming up?
I'm hoping to put some pen to paper. I'm really keen to write a book.
So, oh wow!
On mental health and well-being. So I'm hoping to do that And I'm also, I'm planning to open up my own wellbeing clinic also. So I'm just trying to get things sort of together and trying to set up an agenda, let's say, and then and hopefully kick off from there.
Amazing. And yeah, next year we've got our little podcast starting. So this is kind of the start of many. So we've got our Togetherness podcast, a bit of a corny name, but I think it's important. I think if I could describe this year in one word, I think togetherness is very, very important. And hopefully, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. I do apologise. Obviously, recording these podcasts, and I've had Siri popping up trying to reply to everything I've just been saying, so it put me off a little bit. But guys, it's been a pleasure talking to you all. Happy New Year! Thank you very much for everything both of you have done this year. Look forward to doing a lot more work with you both in the new year. But thank you for everything, and a very happy New Year.
Likewise, Joe. Thank you very much for helping me, and all the best for the new year. And you guys, I hope your podcast journey goes as planned. And
thank you very much. We'll be learning from Luke. Trying to take a few tips.
I have no idea what I'm doing half the time. So
just
we're
wing
already
it.
Set then.
All right, guys. I will let you get off. But yeah, thank you so much for joining me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. Nice to meet you, James, and happy New Year to all of you.
Take care,
guys. Speak to you later.
See you later.
Bye.
The Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes is back. Every time the score changes, someone wins $50,000. Plus, 2 grand prize winners will win $500,000 they could use toward their dream home. See rules and enter for free at RocketMortgageSquares.com. Rocket Mortgage, official mortgage sponsor of Super Bowl 55.
No purchase necessary. Legal residents of the 50 U.S. and D.C. of age of majority. Ends February 4th. Licensed in all 50 states and MLS number 3030. The NFL is not sponsored promotion in any way.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.